Now this evening we turn to Revelation chapter 22, the last chapter of Revelation, and let us read from the beginning, verses 1 through to 5. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Now, as we draw to a close with these studies that we've been trying to do in this book of Revelation, we must remember that the book is highly figurative, and terms are being used to explain to us the tremendous future that lies before the people of God. We cannot take these things literally, but The way they are given, the figurativeness of the language that's used, helps us to understand the wonder of paradise, the wonder of that new world that's going to emerge and that is going to come into being. Now, in the verses of the previous chapter, as well as in the verses that are before us here tonight, John is dealing with what scholars call the palingenesis. And what is meant by that word palingenesis? Just this, the new creation. You see, as we have seen from these chapters, the beast that came up out of the sea with the 7 heads and the 10 horns, which symbolizes anti-God society and anti-God government. And the lamb-like beast with the 2 horns, which represents false religion. And the red dragon, the devil. They've all been judged. They're finished. And then, as we have seen, after their judgment, the general resurrection of the dead has taken place. All men and women who have ever lived on earth have been raised. They have been summoned to the great tribunal of God at the great white throne. And all mankind has been judged. And at this stage, you see, in the book of Revelation, human history is finished. It's a thing of the past. The eternal state has now begun. And the joy that lies before the people of God is indescribable. You see, as we have seen, the Bible begins in a garden and it ends in a garden. The glory of man in his state of innocence began in the Garden of Eden. And the story of redeemed man ends in this garden of paradise that God is preparing for his people. You see, John describes the heavenly state in terms of a city. He speaks of it as the heavenly Jerusalem. But now in this chapter, he describes the heavenly state in terms of a garden. And this garden corresponds with the first garden that was ever made, the Garden of Paradise. As Matthew Henry very aptly puts it, here we have, he says, a paradise in a city, or a whole city in a paradise. And as you know, the first paradise had only two people, Adam and Eve. But in this paradise, what we have are whole cities and nations. And when we consider the source of life in this paradise, it comes from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And this is what I want us to look at tonight, the source of life in the paradise of God. The fullness of joy experienced in the paradise of God. The occupation that people are engaged in the paradise of God. And their status of blissfulness that they experience in the paradise of God. We shall see how we get on by the help of God. But let us just think, first of all, of the source of life in the paradise of God. It says here, he showed me a pure river of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Now our minds go back to the great prophets of the past. For example, our minds go back to Ezekiel and also to Zechariah. And these great prophets speak about water flowing from the throne of God, water flowing from the holy place. Indeed, as we were reading tonight, Ezekiel describes these waters as waters to swim in. There's an abundance of water. That meant a lot to a man living in the Middle East. Waters to swim in. And Ezekiel goes on to say this, which we read tonight, by the river and upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be meat for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. You see, water is a precious commodity. We've got such an abundance of it here that we don't think very much of it when we turn on our taps. But if you were living in a land where it is scarce, then you would realize this, how precious a commodity water is. And what better than pure water, unsullied water, water as clear as crystal. And this is what John sees flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In other words, what John is being made to understand, and that is this, that God is the source of life. And that from the throne of his majesty and from the throne of his sovereignty, he dispenses life. And he dispenses life to those who are ordained for eternal life. And that life comes to them through the Lamb, who is there with the Father in heaven. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. It couldn't be more plain, could it? Here is the life of God, eternal life, everlasting life, wondrous life, and it is proceeding from God, and it is coming from him through his Son, Jesus. That's why Jesus, and we read this tonight at the well of Sychar, what did he say to the woman? This disillusioned woman, this poor shattered woman, this woman for whom the whole bottom of her life had dropped out. Wherever she turned, she didn't find satisfaction or peace or security. No matter the number of times she was married, it didn't seem to solve her problems. And on that day, she came to Sychar's well, and Jesus was there to meet her. It's a wonderful thing when Jesus meets you. I wonder if our Lord may meet with someone here tonight. Maybe for you, this is Sychar's well, my dear friend. I hope it is. You see, this woman was coming to draw water. And Jesus said, I know you've got need. And you think that you're going to get satisfaction from this water by putting your bucket down into it? I tell you, you won't get satisfaction here. Because whoever drinketh of the water that is here will thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Oh, my dear woman, he says, if you only knew the gift of God and who's speaking to you. And here you are searching for life and searching for satisfaction and searching for contentment, and here it is in front of you. And I believe that every Free Church person who goes to hear the gospel within our church is being confronted by Christ. It's happening in other churches too, where good men are in their pulpits, and good men are presenting Christ Jesus to the audience and saying to men and women, if you only knew the gift of God and that Christ is there giving it to you, you would ask and he would give you life and life in abundance. So life, eternal life, it comes to us from God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And you notice this about it, that life is free from any taint or impurity that would mar it. What does it say? The water was clear as crystal. No mud, not a speck, nothing in it. It's all so pure. And you see, this life that God has to give through his Son, Jesus Christ, this life that will be enjoyed in his paradise, will be life without limitations, life without the restraints imposed upon it by sin. It will be life without the harassment that is caused to life in an imperfect environment. It is life that is full of joy, and it's got in it the fullness of joy that the redeemed are capable of enjoying. It's the life that Jesus spoke about, you remember, when he said this, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. You understand life, my dear friend, don't you? When you're well and fit and strong, it's a wonderful thing. You've got a wonderful feeling. Maybe it is some people here are older now, and you look back to the days when you could run and not be weary. when you could, as the prophet says, walk and not faint. But now the thought of running, you can't think of it. And sometimes the steps become so heavy and weary that you wonder how you're going to make through life. Ah, but there were days when you enjoyed life. And you young folks in the congregation, you know what I'm talking about, life. But you see, even now there are restraints on your life because of sin. But think of what the life is going to be like in paradise when all the restraints are gone and when you are enjoying this bliss that comes from God through Christ. But let us look at the fullness of joy in paradise. It says in verses 2, in the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river was there the tree of life which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. You see, our minds go back to that first garden where Adam and Eve were. Oh, everything was good. Everything was pleasant. Go back and read Genesis 1, 2, and 3. And in that wonderful garden that God had created for Adam and Eve, we are told that there were riches in abundance. A river was flowing through the garden. There were trees. There was the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But that's the point. There was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we know to our cost that when God placed Adam there, there was the possibility of Adam committing sin by taking of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And to our cost, the damage was done. And Adam gave way because of the serpent. And when that happened, the curse was introduced into the world. But you will notice that in this new world, it has nothing to say about a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's only got one tree.